It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/redcircle.
¿Qué tal, mi gente? Te saluda Emanuel González de Mark Wahlberg Auto Group. Somos la agencia más grande de Chevrolet y GMC de todo Columbus, donde encuentras los carros y camionetas nuevos, cero millas al mejor precio. También contamos con más de 800 carros usados de todas las marcas en inventario. Te podemos aprobar con número e-TIN y aceptamos identificación o pasaporte de tu país. En Mark Wahlberg te esperamos con los brazos abiertos. Visítanos hoy mismo, 3900 West Broad Street, al oeste de la ciudad, a un lado del casino. Te atendemos completamente en español. Márcanos ya, 833-699-0792.
Hey guys, welcome back to our Craftsmanship Podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I like how fluid that intro has become. It's like so second nature. But like when we throw a mix into it like last week, my co-hosts and brothers.
Another co-hosts.
Yeah, the other. The 1, 3, 4, 2, 3, and 4. All right, we're back. Just the two of us. Just the two of us. What do you got for us today?
There's a saying out there that every man has three hearts. One in his mouth for the world to know. Another in his chest just for his friends. And a secret heart buried deep where no one can find it. That's a heart a man must keep hidden if he wants to survive. You guess what show I'm watching that I got that from?
Let's see. Some
think about people who might hold things tighter to their chest, who might not, who might seem more reserved.
Maybe some type of like, I'm like thinking anywhere from like the Queen to like
the Queen,
like Law and Order, or
yeah, no,
what? Or some like, you know, some also like survival show or something. I don't know. Yeah. What you got?
Shogun. I'm rewatching Shogun.
Nice. I wouldn't have guessed it was something that you're rewatching
after the other night. I started it again.
Nice.
But no, it doesn't really. We don't have to go into that. But I did like it. It was this very, you know, old school Japanese thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, there's, and they also bring it up in the show. It's like, yeah, well, don't like underestimate us because we're all quiet and polite and bows. Like, we still will feel how we feel,
right?
Just because we're all part of this, this like machine, this super right. polite machine, and super right. like. This happened, and now this has to happen because you said this and this and this happened, you know. But the, you know, it's a very Japanese thing. Like, yeah, you got. You would normally think it's like, yeah, what I say and what I don't say.
Right.
It's deeper than that. It's what I say and what I don't say, and then what I really would
really don't say.
I don't tell anyone.
Right. Yeah, it's that super reservation, you know, that there's depths unseen that are like so reserved. Yeah, I mean, because that's like a lot of the Asian cultures are that way. There's so much reserve and so much control over your emotions, and like, you know, everything is like layers upon layers upon layers, like the clothing, you know. It's like
yeah. Oh, it's so good. You gotta start it, Dust. It's great.
I know. I don't have the free versions of the TV that the paid version.
It's on.
You say, I mean, Hulu, right?
Hulu, I think, because it's an FX show, so
right.
I think people watch FX on Hulu, but since now Disney and Hulu are also, I know you don't have Disney either, but
actually you do have Disney, so maybe it's for Disney Plus.
It's in there, yeah.
Oh, all right.
I don't think you need Hulu for that. I think it's just combined now, kind of.
Okay, I'll have to check and see. Yeah, I mean, because I would say every show that you ever recommended to me that you thought was really good, I also thought was really good. Right. I haven't watched all the ones you recommended, but like, but I'm never like, you know, upset.
I will say, I'm not one to recommend I have a friend who watches things that are weird and or crappy or he just finds them interesting.
Right.
And he like suggests them to me, and I'm like, yeah, I know it's like really weird and kind of shitty and like, but that's the opposite of what I want to watch. Like, you know, oh, it's so like, like cringy that it's like, it's so low budget. I'm like, nah, I don't want to see that. I want to see like the best of the best done.
Right.
The best.
Yeah. Right.
I want to see a lot of money and a lot of craftsmanship put into it.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, like, there's a time and place for that, like, low-budget, funny, you know, like, Trailer Park Boys, you know, like,
there's something. Well, that I don't mind. That's something different, but it's like, there'll be some horror movie, or it'll be some weird, like, oh, I found this movie from the 80s, and then this guy, he's like, I'm like, no.
You're like, nah, I'm all right.
But anyway, the Golden Globes just happened, and they, like, every category they were in, they won.
Dang.
Like,
all right.
Best actor, are Japanese actors winning, like, best supporting actor.
Right.
And, you know, they don't speak any English in the show. It's really cool.
Whoever was the woman who was, like, the whatever MC or whatever for the Golden Globes, I saw a thing where she was
the comedian,
where she was, like, advertising a bingo card. I was like, you can download the Golden Globe bingo card. It's like, is Keanu Reeves going to bring a squirrel, you know, to the thing? I don't know. It was all these like random things. Like, that's so weird. Like, you can't make it up for us. That's the whole point. People making up funny bingo cards for the Golden Globes. But
I didn't watch it, but I was happy to see that. And then, that's when I'm like, yes, it's like when your thing gets love. And even though it's not my thing, because one of the biggest shows in the last like year, obviously, but it's like,
you appreciate it, and you're like, yes, it's really good. And then, everyone else is like, yeah, it's really good. You're like, oh,
yeah. Good job, I liked it before it was cool.
Yeah, right.
But Shogun, good stuff.
As you were reading that quote, I was thinking of, like, I don't know. It was like each time you would say, like, another thing, I was kind of predicting what it would be. And I was like, you know, a heart for, you know, like, your family, and a heart for your friends, and a heart for yourself. You don't shit. I was like, which way is this going? You know, it was like, because I think obviously, you know, men aren't as emotionally as women are. You know, so I thought it was kind of going in that angle. I'm like, where are we going with this? Like, we don't wear hearts on our sleeves.
Sure.
Yeah.
But no, that was just a Japanese thing. It was actually, they talk about another episode. Blackthorn is the English guy, the English sailor. Right. They call him Anjin, which is pilot, because he was the one, he's the pilot of the ship.
Right.
Who lands on the Japanese shore. What was I going to say? I was picturing something else.
Something you said, what's his actual name? Blackthorn?
Oh, Oh yeah, okay. So Blackthorn and his like translator is Mariko. But anyway, she puts it another way. This was from a Portuguese sailor who knows Blackthorn, and that's how he puts it. Then she puts it a slightly different way, but he's like basically saying like you gotta protect yourself.
Right.
So don't not so many outbursts. Like you just have to do the way these like they'll kill you for looking at the wrong person. Like so you just have to keep some of this stuff on the inside. But the great thing about the show is his outbursts, but him slowly learning.
Right.
Learning the ways. But also it's not like a Last Samurai thing or necessarily like they're still different even at the end of the show.
Right.
I think they both have respect for either side, but neither side is necessarily better.
Right.
Even
yeah.
Though, you know, Blackthorn thinks they're savages and they think he's a savage.
Right.
You know, it's both sides.
Yeah. That's kind of, I like that.
It's good. And it's not, you know, none of it's, yeah, it's not like he's like the, apparently in the 70s show, they did one in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have any closed captioning for the Japanese. Mm-hmm. And it was to have the feel like to put you in the shoes of Blackthorn.
Oh, crazy.
You know, so only when things were translated to him did you know what they were yelling at him for.
Right.
Which is interesting, but also, you know, now in modern times, they're like, well, why don't we? Because in the book, it tells everyone's thoughts and feelings about stuff.
Right.
So it's like, let's do the Japanese side and,
yeah,
you know, let's actually understand what they're saying.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's I'm like, you know, that is a definitely like, you know, a tool used to make the audience feel a certain way. You know, like I can imagine that movie being that way and being really, like upset about it. Being like, there's so much happening. They're saying so much. I don't understand what's happening. You know, like,
right? And you're only on Blackthorn's side,
right? But, you know, I mean, I like the idea that you get the perspective of both sides by knowing what they're saying.
And to see the translation and what they decided to translate to the other side. And it's really, it's a great show. But anyway.
Nice.
So I saw a really great video I want to talk about today. There's a guy, I don't know his last name. But the channel, I think he was huge on TikTok. Francis Bourgeois, or I don't think it's Bourgeois. It's Bourgeois. What is that?
Yeah, Bourgeois.
Okay.
Ois. Yeah, Bourgeois.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like I didn't want to, you know, that's what I think it is.
Bourgeois.
But he's English, and that's why right. I wasn't like. Anyway, Francis I saw Bourgeois. Him on Instagram. I don't know if you ever seen him. He's got these. He's a train spotter.
Oh, I have seen him.
And have you seen that where like his face looks funny because he has a 360 cam in front of his face?
Yeah.
And like it's all giggly and weird. And he's so like his love for it is it's infectious and funny and like you could pick on him a little bit, but also you're like, but he's so happy. Mm-hmm. It just kind of makes you, it's what we've gone over again and again. When you see someone who's into something,
right,
like then you're kind of on board, then you're like, yeah, that actually that train is cool, like what kind is it, like, oh yeah, that's kind of awesome, you know. And he just, so anyway, like I'd seen enough of his Instagram where I was like, well, he's gonna have a YouTube, because I was watching a few of the Instagram ones and it's like, you know, they get cut short,
right?
And you're like, wait, what happened to the rest of it, like where's, and then I was like, all right, he must have a longer, he has to have a YouTube or something. Sure enough, he's got a YouTube channel where he does the full, like, 20-minute, you know, videos.
Yeah. Right, like, talking about it leading up to it.
They're really well done. I watched a bunch of them, and he's so, like, enthusiastic. And there's some videos where him and his friend, they just chase the trains, you know, try to get past it. And they cheer every time it goes by, and they go farther. And, like, anyway, they're really well done and really, I don't know, it's like, really shot well and clean and simple, which I really like.
Right.
But anyway, so there was one I saw today. The title is Black 5 and Drive. chasing 44871 with Chris Harris. So Chris Harris is a famous, he took over like the third iteration of Top Gear after the other guys went off. And he's like a famous car guy. So he was on Top Gear for a long time. He's been, he's done a million, and now he has his own channel, like car channel. But right. a huge, huge name definitely in England. But the Chris Harris, so for one, let's start with, the image is of him in the back of a convertible, and you can see this awesome old steam engine, like, you know, on the other side of the road, and they're, like, chasing it. So pretty good, but I feel like if you have Chris Harris in your video, you need to lead with that. Because I don't think I could see it in the title when I saw it. I didn't notice the name. And I was kind of surprised when he popped up in this. I was like, oh, my, okay, this guy must be bigger than I know. Francis, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, he must be like huge on TikTok.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, so I think the title and the, he should have had Chris Harris like in his thumbnail. Like, you know, like them both standing there like with a train going by. But anyway, so. I think they must have teamed up with Chris Harris's crew because they have like a camera car crew with them, you know, with like a little jib hanging off the front, you know, so they can get those great shots like they do for any car show. They have these awesome cameras hanging off a jib off of the vehicle next to him. And they follow him around like one of his normal videos, like starts off with him doing his like super excited, like, oh my God, there it is. And like it flying by him. He's like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
You can see him like getting ready and getting in his little car. He's got like a Honda. It's like his girlfriend's Honda something, like a little tiny hatchback thing. And he's chasing it. And then he like ends up at a track and like Chris Harris passes him in a Porsche or something. And then he like, then they discuss, like, all right, Chris is like, all right, I'll take you. Like, where are we going? Like, it was kind of, you know, it's definitely set up. But they needed a reason for Chris Harris to be driving around. But none of it is, like, it's staged, but it's not. You can see that they're not trying to trick you in anything. They're kind of just like, oh, here we go. And then, so then they hop in the back of some BMW. And Chris Harris drives, you know, he's going fast. And, so I guess it's not ruining it, but they're chasing down this steam engine on these like English highways and like really trying to catch up with it. And they eventually do. And the reveal and the music and everything about how excited the guy is. I was tearing up and then I watched it again because I loved the moment so much and I teared up again. And I was like, oh my God, it was so well done. Like his joy. And then also Chris Harris, like you can see him like noticing how happy the guy was. And he's like a little emotional and like, then he becomes super pumped about it as the, you know, the guy's like freaking out. It's just so great. And it's such a cool shot of the train that comes up next to their car. You'll see it when you should watch it. It's like 20 minutes long. Watch the whole thing. I don't know what it was. It was just so well done. The whole video was great. And I don't know. It's just, that's what like YouTube is good at. And even though they put a little bit more into it than his normal video, you know, they must add Chris Harris's crew to shoot some of it because it's really well done and looks good. But man, like who knew? It's one of those YouTube things, you know, or you know, where you're watching something that you're not ready for, and it just hits you, and you're like, well, I'm like tearing up about this, like a train, and it's more the guy's happiness, and you know, and everything working out perfect when you're not sure that it will, and his reaction to it, man, it's really
great. It's like just all the buildup of emotions, like
it just worked perfectly for an awesome, awesome video, so. Check that out, folks. And you might get a little emotional, or you might think I'm really silly, but for whatever reason, it just hit me. I was like tearing up. I was like, there it is.
They got it.
There's this train.
There's this train.
It was so silly, but like, you'll see if you're watching. It's great. You know,
those are the funniest videos. It's like that
that, like, that perspective of his, like, forehead, you know, all gigantic, mm-hmm. and, like, right in the fish eye, and he's like, ooh. You know, he's like all goofy, you know, English-looking goofy dude anyway.
Oh my gosh. So then
he's like, here it is.
Yeah, so I did not expect to watch one of his videos and a car guy, like, them combined, and then be, like, tearing up at this one moment, but for whatever reason, it really hits.
Was that the first one that you came across when you went looking for it on YouTube?
No, I watched a couple of hims.
Oh, okay.
Just the one. He did one with a buddy where they, like, chase it down together.
Right.
And then I watched another one with just him. And that was, like, the... But I really wasn't interested in it because of the title and the thumbnail. I was like, eh.
Right.
It didn't look great. It was like a... But I clicked on it. I'm glad I did. So that's the only improvement I can tell them to do, maybe.
Yeah,
fix the title and the thumbnail. I did comment. I commented something really nice. I was like, this was great. This is, you know, I love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I actually thought about that, but I didn't want to. I didn't want to go negative.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to. Yeah, exactly. You know, and you could always you could send him a DM like on Instagram and be like, hey man, you know, just wanted to let you know I like absolutely love this video, but you know. Just some constructive criticism. I thought, you know, whatever, that the thumbnail, you know, didn't do it justice, right? That, like, it's such a good video that you could maybe put another thumbnail that will show it better, right? Or get more views if it matters. You know, if it matters, like, if it doesn't matter, great, it's fine. Like,
you know, I thought about that, but also it's like, it does have, I mean, it should have more views in mind, but it's got like 250,000 views, and he probably has like 5 million on TikTok, so he's gonna like come to me and be like, who are you to tell me? Not that he would. He seems like a nice guy, but he could be like, okay.
Yeah, again, it's always like, you can only like, you know, convey.
I would, that's what I would say. If I knew the guy, I would say, like, look, I wanted to watch your videos.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one that looked least interesting to me because the title was a little, I didn't understand it, is all.
Right.
And also, I didn't see that it was Chris Harris on it. So if I would have seen his picture, or you would have put his name early in it, I would have. That would have been the first one I clicked on.
Right.
But.
Yeah.
Oh, it's well, I'm really, sure he listens really great. To
this podcast, so he'll know.
Oh, yeah.
Francis Bourgeois.
All right, Francis. That'd be great. But he seems like such a, he's just super happy about trains for, you know, they are cool, especially the old steam ones.
Yeah, but,
yeah. And I feel like in England, you have those train spottings more of a thing because you have such a tight network of trains.
Right.
And you can drive from one side of the country to the other in a day,
mm-hmm.
and chase it, you know, wherever. Yeah. But
yeah, that's cool because you know, like in the Instagram, whatever, you know, reels I see of him, it's just it's usually, you know, whatever 20 seconds or something, 30 seconds of him, standing like at a train station, you know, or somewhere, and the train's going by, you know. So it's just that final thing. So you don't get any of the buildup. You can tell that he's passionate about it. He loves it. You know, he knows all about the trains and, but you don't get the story of like why, you know, why he wants to have it go by him, you know, or whatever. It's like, but that's pretty
cool. Right. Yeah. You know, I think he's definitely huge, at least on TikTok, which I don't know. Instagram, obviously, if you and I have seen him,
right.
And neither of us have looked up train content.
Right. Exactly.
He's huge.
Yeah.
yeah. And I think he's been in, you know, done a lot of English stuff. Like, I think he's been on talk shows and stuff. So, again, he doesn't need, the video is great. And he's so, now I might be missing a huge thing. Maybe there's people, maybe he's bigger than I think he is, even knowing this, maybe. But he is so natural on camera.
Right.
It's not made up. And he's just so good at being, it's not like even he's a good, like, talent.
Right.
He's not overdoing it. It just seems this is exactly how he would be if you were hanging out with him. He has, like, total comfort in front of the camera. And whoever he's interacting with, he just seems to be, I don't know, just a really good presenter. Without trying to be, you know?
Right. Yeah, I just looked him up. And... you know, came up with him. So it actually has him as a British model. So, yeah. It says, and his name is Luke Magnus Nicholson. known as Francis Bourgeois, is a British train spotter, social media personality, model, and author. He's most known for his lighthearted, humorous videos on the topic of trains posted on TikTok and Instagram. Born in the year 2000.
That's not his name, huh?
No, Luke Magnus Nicholson. Known as Francis Bourgeois.
Okay. Well, I hope he's not, like, tricking me and that he's not actually is, like, a character.
That would hurt. Yeah, right. You're like, that's not who you are at all. No, I think, yeah, I mean, he's got, let's see, Instagram, he's got 2 million followers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was, I wasn't sure because on YouTube, it's, I think he's only got like 75,000.
Right.
But maybe he just started YouTube, right. Like full right, length right. videos. Maybe he was only posting for a long time on Instagram right. and TikTok.
Oh, yeah, he has, yeah, 72,000 on YouTube. Yeah, 3.2 million on TikTok. So.
Okay, so he started out maybe short form.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And had some help with doing long form because the videos are really well. They're not that, you know, not that crazy.
Right.
But they're just well done for being a nice, simple thing.
Yeah. It is funny how, like, how goofy that, like, fisheye looks from his forehead.
I know, whether he knows it or not. See, that's a little bit of it, too. It's like,
yeah.
How much does he think he's being a little nerdy and
right?
Yeah. Or is it? Is I don't think it's put on.
Right.
I think he actually loves it that much in the videos he does. But maybe I'm wrong. But I really think he's.
Yeah.
It really feels genuine, and there, you know, I some of that stuff I just don't think you can fake.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. I mean, this, you know, the pictures of him, like, not in the fisheye lens, he's a decent-looking guy. You know, he's, like, a little quirky-looking, but, you know, you can see why he's a model, because he's got, like, a square jaw, and, you know, he's, like, a good-looking guy. He's got a good smile and stuff, but, yeah, the fisheye lens just makes him look so dorky. Like, it's so funny, and it's almost like it's so much of a shtick that, you know, it's he can't care about it. You know what I mean? It's like... Right. It's just if someone was self-conscious and enough to the point where they were like faking an enjoyment of something, you know, it's like you wouldn't put that weird picture of yourself. Like he like doesn't care. Maybe. He wants you to see how goofy, full of joy he is. Right. So he's like, I'm going to show you my face as close up in a weird angle as possible because it's like this is how goofy and crazy I get when these things go by. I'm so excited about it. Yeah. It's funny. Yeah.
So nice, yeah, check it out. See, you tell me what you think, but I really think he's. I'll look into it a little bit more. I'll YouTube it. You know, there's always a million other YouTubers dissecting other YouTubers.
Right? Yeah. Stupid YouTubers.
But
nice. Yeah. Right on. That's cool. I'll have to check it out. I was I talked recently about this popped up because it's Francis, but Francis McCaffrey, who's the shillelagh maker. Mm-hmm. And he's pretty cool. He's, you know, he does all sorts of, like, he just makes these beautiful traditional shillelaghs. And, I don't know, I popped my head, but I saw a thing that he's actually like a fifth generation shillelagh maker, which is crazy. Oh, nice. I was like his grandfather or whatever, four times over also made shillelaghs, like traditional shillelaghs. And I did see, it's like, he's one of the only traditional shillelagh makers still like actively, you know, making stuff, but. That's kind of silly. I don't know why. Let's see. What did I do? We had fun snow days recently. Had a couple snow days here in Maryland.
Yeah.
Had a storm come through. What did you guys end up getting? How many inches?
Real quick. Three, if four? I'm click-clacking too much in my mouth, I put a cough drop in because I've been battling a cold and a sore throat. So if it's if it's too noisy like that, let me know and I'll spit her out.
Okay. That's not too bad. I think we probably got
5,
maybe 4 or 5 inches. Yeah. Enough to get us off 2 days of school, which was pretty cool. And it was a Monday, Tuesday, so it was like a nice long weekend. Mm-hmm. On well, let's see. On the first snow day, when it was actively snowing the whole day, we just hung in. And Nicole actually, because it was fairly well predicted and we all knew it was coming, Nicole brought home her laptop and her like remote USB dongle that she puts in, so that way she can work on her stuff from home. So she was working from home, yeah. And Nicole and I were home. I mean, Corinne and I were home, and just like reading books a little bit and watching some shows, and then she and I played some video games, which I'll talk about a little bit later. in my recommendation, I'll tell you what video game it was, but it was fun. So we spent like all day just relaxing and chilling, and then found out, I guess probably by like, I don't know, it wasn't super late. Like we knew by 4 or 5 o'clock or something that we were also going to have it off on the next day, which is cool. Cause then we could like, you know, relax. It's not like you're trying to wake up in the morning and check my emails and stuff. And, so then on the second day, Kate and Sean's boys, Emery and Alistair, came over and they hung out with us for a couple hours. And we actually took down our Christmas tree and we did a very New England traditional thing that Nicole and her family did growing up was, you take peanut butter and you stick it on the branches of the tree, and then you stick birdseed to it, and then you put the tree outside. So then you have like, you know, your Christmas tree outside for a couple of days while the birds eat all this birdseed and stuff off of it. So it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But I was like outside in the cold trying to do that, and I was just wearing like latex gloves to put all the peanut butter and stuff on. So like my hands were freezing cold because it was so cold out that second day. But it was fun to have them there, and we played more video games and had hot chocolate and, you know, nice, fun snow day. You guys do anything fun?
Well, you and Caitlin's been working.
Mm-hmm.
So when I worked yesterday,
right.
But anyway, it was me with the kids at home on snow day. So, but it was so cold, and I could, but to go out with Grant and Maeve, I just waited until Grant went down for a nap, and Maeve and I went out and, you know, slid around. And the only problem is we don't really have a hill near us. I mean, we do, but I'd be in the, you know, farmer's field. I don't know.
Right.
And it's such a huge hill.
Yeah.
If I just pushed Maeve and she started going, you know, I don't know where she'd end up. She might slam into a tree. Like, you know, it's like
400 yards away.
Right.
Yeah, right.
So.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a little bit of a slant on the hill. So if I could, like, slingshot her on her sled, she can go almost across the whole yard. So we were having fun with that.
Nice.
Yeah. It was not really packable snow. So we can, we're going to try to make a snowman or something. But it just wasn't cooperating for that.
Yeah, it's like so cold that everything's just like ice crystals. There's no, you know, it doesn't want to pack together.
It just powder float away in your hand. And then the next day I was like, all right, well, we'll go out and get some stuff done, go to Walmart or whatever. But it was so cold.
Mm-hmm.
Just walking into the Walmart with both kids, like they were so, you know, so windy, and Grant was so upset in his face. He was just like, ah. I was like, I know, buddy.
Yeah. My truck doesn't have any heat, or like it's supposed to, but it just doesn't work. It's just one of those things that just has stopped working whenever, you know, over the last couple of years I've had it. And, I don't know if it's like in the knob, like the knob's actually not turning the temperature right, or whatever. Like, you know, you think at least heat works because it's just coming off of the heat of the engine.
Right.
But it's been brutal over the last couple of days because it's been so cold. I'm like driving back and forth to work in the morning. I'm like, it's so cold. Like, trying to like touch the wheel with just like one or two fingers, and then put my other hand in my pocket or under my leg or something to warm up, and then switch back and forth. And it's like, oh man, brutal.
You need like
a. Yeah,
it's all right. I don't know if you could plug. Well, get one of those hand warmers, Dust. Get those electric ones. Those things are.
Electric hand warmers?
Yeah. I got mom and dad a pair, actually, which I thought they were going to come separate because it was like, you know, buy two.
Right.
I was like, okay, I'll buy them two, and they can each have one for whatever. Mom can take it skiing, dad can take one fishing. Yeah, and you charge it. Just like anything else, but it heats up.
Ah,
Which I didn't really, I didn't know of either. I always use those packets.
Right.
But those just, you know, they make a mess. You know, you have a million of them. If you want to, you know, you've got to buy 100.
Yeah.
But if you had one of those, at least you could.
Yeah, the hot hands, yeah.
You could put it on your lap. You know, switch hands, have something creating heat.
Yeah, I know we talked about this before on the podcast, like a month and a half ago, when it was also really cold. And I did get that one heater, and it like worked for a day and a half, and then it just stopped. It was just too much. And I did look up another one, which got a bunch, you know, like got better rating as an actual, as like a one you get from Tractor Supply or something, and it was a little bit better ratings, but it was, I think it's like $70 or $80, so it's significantly more expensive than the first one that I bought. And then it also, you have to wire directly into the battery of the vehicle, not like through the plug, which makes sense, right? Because it's a lot of, it's pulling a lot of power to run any type of heater. So that actually makes me feel better about it. Like I would think, okay, well that actually makes sense and it probably will work better. But I just haven't pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
But I've been thinking about it though. It's so cold. I'm like, oh, it's so cold.
Yeah, for sure.
That's all right, though. It's funny because so not last weekend, but the weekend before, right? Yeah, 2 weekends ago was the it was our hammer in with the Viking group, the Wanderers that I'm part of. and that day it was 50.
We should have started with a hammer in. People are like, why is he talking about trains and crying?
Right. Yeah, so we had the hammer in, and it was like the rainiest day, but fortunately it wasn't super cold out. You know, it was chilly, but it was like 50, you know, like 55 or something, and it was just rainy all day. But I grabbed a new pop up, like a temp.
It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
By 10 pop-up, I went out the day before and got a new one because ours, the one that I have is an 8x8 with like splayed legs, and I wanted a full 10x10 pop-up. So I grabbed that and had that next to the smithy, which worked well. And so the day before, I gathered a bunch of firewood and brought the fire pit over. So we had like the fire pit going and a bunch of dry firewood because I had it underneath of a lean-to and had everybody come over. But it was good. You know, we had, it was kind of like an all-day event where people could come anytime around like 9 a.m. and after, and then stay through dinner, which we ended up having about 5 o'clock or so, 4:30, 5 o'clock. And then people hung out till about 6:30, which was awesome. So like we had a couple guys come over who were working on some forge stuff. And then also some of the women from the group as well came over to either work on stuff or like hang out and talk, you know, other crafts and things that we want to make and put together. And then just about, you know, events and stuff coming up. And so it was good. We had some good food throughout the day, and, I had a pair of tongs that were kind of pre-cut that I got from Maker Camp, which I made, finished those out and made wolf jaw tongs out of them, which were really nice. They actually worked super well. I'm really happy with the way those turned out. And then I started a pair of scissors, like Viking scissors, which I posted to Instagram after I finished them. But, those actually turned out pretty well, except for not great, not perfect. Like they look really good, but they don't work great yet.
They're not great scissors yet.
Yeah, like the blades on the scissors are probably like 3 inches long, the actual cutting edge of the blade, and I would say probably the middle inch and a half work well, but yeah, the like 3/4 of an inch onto the tip aren't touching really well. And just like scissors I think are pretty finicky the way they work. Like they have to bend, you know, they have to be somewhat bent so that way when they come together, when you're bringing the two blades together, the whatever part is touching is like touching as tight as possible. Right. And so like I have these like hugging each other really nicely throughout that middle inch and a half or so, you know, and then that last 3/4 of an inch, they separate out. So it'll take some more finessing. The problem with that is like they're heat treated. But I never tempered them because it's like spring steel, which you don't necessarily have to temper. Like it's obviously it's better to, but these are working really well the way they are. But I need to temper them first. And then once I temper them, then I can kind of take them back out and do a little bit of like light hammering to try to get those tips to bend a little bit toward each other. But I can't have them bend too much because it's just two edges coming together. So like, if they're too sharp and they're coming together, if they're crisscrossing too much, then they'll just catch. Like the edges will catch and they won't slip past each other. So, but the forging was cool. Like I just started, I used, like I said, I have some car springs, coil springs that I cut a chunk, and just kind of estimated, I think it was like 8 inches or something like that, and then drew out the kind of blade shapes on either side, and then like and long in the middle. So it's all one piece that's you know, two blades on either end of one long piece, and then you bend it in the middle so it comes together, and then that's your spring. So they work, like I said, they look pretty and they work okay for for, like, I mean, I was cutting paper and stuff really well, like in that, you know, 2 inches or so cuts normal paper and, you know, any like heavier paper, but we also want to use it for leather and stuff. So it's gotta be a little bit better, but that was cool.
Yeah. It might just be a, you know, machined precision thing.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's a tough one, right? Cause like this size is, like, cause I'd say overall they're like, maybe 8 inches from tip to the end of the spring. And I haven't seen a ton for sale in this size, at least not like mass produced. You know, I've seen some on like Etsy and stuff, but so people are making them, but they're selling them for, you know,
individual maker prices. But I can buy little ones like thread nippers, basically the same exact style, for 10, 15 bucks or something on Amazon, because they sell a lot of them. So, so we'll see. But it's an interesting forging because it is like such precision work, and it's such a finicky shape that, like, if it's not perfect or near perfect, it's just not going to work the way you want it to.
Yeah.
Which I like. I like that about that type of forging. Like, I like the precision stuff. I like the small stuff. I like getting it, like, accurate. But this is another level of that. It's fun.
Yeah.
But it was good. Yeah, we had like, you stopped by at the Hammer Inn, which is fun. So we had, like, a bunch of, you know, guys hanging outside. And we had some people brought some drinks and some stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, we had, like, Craig, who's the kind of the head of the group, he was working on some stuff, and he was down in the shop working on it. So we had people kind of, like, some people in the shop working on grinders, and some, you know, and then kind of coming up and doing stuff on the forge. So kind of going back and forth. So it was a fun kind of, you know, metalworking, just like crafting day with a few people. And then my buddy Sean stopped by, and he was hanging out working on some stuff. And it was fun to, like, have those guys there, but then just be like, you know, talking like the Viking reenactment stuff, but also just talking, you know, forging and blacksmithing and metalwork.
Like, it was cool. You don't have to put, like, a show on or anything.
Exactly. We weren't like in reenactment dress or anything. It was just everyone just dressed normally, because we were just doing it as a, like, hey, we should get together because we want to make some stuff, and, like, I have the facility here at our house to do a group forge and do metalwork and stuff, more than most of the other guys in the group, or the other people in the group who have, you know, shops to do, like, bigger metalwork and stuff. So
yeah,
it was fun. Yeah.
You know, it's cool for sure. Yeah. And I talked to Craig a little bit about, you know, I was trying to do a video of just some, like, do a series of Viking videos. We could probably shoot it all in one day. And like we said, have everyone who wants to in the crew set up and like live for a day.
Right.
In a nice setting, and do interviews with everybody, and do some ASMR. Right. Like, I really think it'd be cool to have just an hour of, like, a video of just the little village going about its day, you know? And right, people be like, oh, like, but they're speaking English. Like, hey, shut up. But you don't really, like, hear anything specific. It'll just be a wide shot. Right. But then, you know, making videos, like, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, often we have that kind of situation, or the events that I've been to where, you know, there'll always be, like, people coming in and out and talking to us, and, you know, but there's also stretches of time where there's not anybody really there. And so, like, I might just be at the forge, like, forging, and Craig and I are talking about whatever and just, like, you know, working. And then there'll be the people, like, over on the looms, like, you know, weaving some fabric. And then we have, like, the people who are doing stuff with the sheep and taking care of the sheep. And then we have a couple people who are working on, like, a meal. That'll be, like, the lunch for the group for the day.
Yeah. What I was thinking was, is you do half the hour is everyone working.
Right.
And then this, you know, then towards the end of the video is everyone getting together and eating.
Yeah.
So you can see
some
people working and doing stuff, but also some people preparing food.
Right.
And then people eating. I mean, it would be cool. You could also do it, like, during sunset.
Mm-hmm.
So the video starts with everyone working. Right, and then by the end, it's, like, dark and there's fires and people are eating. Like, that'd be
cool. Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, because, like, one of the cool things that that our group does is that I only know from what they've told me that is somewhat different than what other groups will do, is that, you know, other groups will kind of, like, when they're eating lunch or whatever during the middle of a day of, you know, of a reenactment, they might eat, like, on the side or whatever, have their own stuff, or they, you know, they don't really want to, like, stop, because it's then you're not reenacting anymore. You're, like, just eating. But with our group, I really think it's, like, important that that's, like, a part of the day, you know, that, like, the sitting down at a table. So we try to do that, like, traditionally. So we have, like, a long table that fits, like, 10 or 15 people, and And the Jarl, like the head of the group, sits in the middle on one side with his wife and daughter on either side of him. And then, you know, directly across from him is the, like, the place of honor. So the person who is, like, the highest ranking or whatever, like the most honored person of that event, will sit across. And then, you know, going out from the middle to the end of the table, you have lower and lower levels of importance, I guess, so to say. Right. So, like,
yeah.
So we'll like make that a part of the event. And so like the first time that we went to event, the first time that Nicole and Corinne and I went, we were in that like seat of honor because they were like, you guys are the new members, you know, like we have a new group, like you guys are here. Like, and then, you know, so it was kind of fun. And then we have all the kitchen stuff, all the bowls and the cups and all the food and everything is, we try to, you know, make it as accurate to what kind of would have been there. Within reason, like people will bring, you know, like raisins and stuff and they're like, okay, well that might not have been something they had, or like dates or, you know, or whatever, or like dried pineapple, you know, like random things that are like, oh yeah, this is some, you know, we must've gotten this from some crazy trader who's been all the way all over the world, you know? So we'll kind of play it up a little bit, but you know,
yeah,
but it's fun to have like some homemade cheeses and fruit. And like last time we went, we brought a bunch of apples and stuff and, but yeah, and then a lot of times there'll be one or two different types of like homebrew alcohol or cider or something that people will share out, which is kind of fun.
Do you guys have any tents, sleeping tents?
So there are several tents like that, which can be opened up or closed depending on, you know, what they're used for. Right. So we have what's called like a ship's tent, which is a really big canvas tent that like opens up. And you may have, like some of the stuff that you saw at that, the Carroll County Celtic Festival. So we have some tents like that. And then there's also some like canvas that can be put up as like lean tos and stuff. So, they're all kind of versatile because they're designed in a way that would have been a versatile piece of equipment on a ship, right? So like it might be a bit of canvas or something that was used as a, like a bimini for part of the ship or something to give coverage. But then when you go on shore, you have like poles on either side and you basically make like an A-frame tent,
yeah,
you know, over some, crisscrossed wood, which may have been oars, you know? Right. So like we try to do that, like how it's versatile. So there are some tents and stuff, and there are some things that can be opened up or closed down based on how you're using them. But yeah, there are definitely some like actual sleeping tent shapes, because often there are people who will stay at events. Like if it's like a multi-day event, they'll stay overnight location. So,
yeah,
and I mean, then like, you know, beds and stuff that are made historically with like wood and rope and stuff.
Yeah, I think it'd be great if, you know, whoever wanted to do it, I mean, you could even, if we found a cool spot to stay overnight, it could be a, hey, we're going to Saturday, everyone's coming, we'll start in the morning, we'll shoot all different types of videos. So we have like a series of videos.
Right.
And then, you know, we end it with the ASMR nighttime video and, you know, going into night.
Yeah.
And then just everyone hang out and then have a good time. And then,
yeah,
you know, for those you don't need, you know, everyone can have normal tents or whatever. But
right. Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, that'd be cool. It'd be fun. Yeah, it would be interesting to do like an overnight, you know, you know, like an SCA, like a Penzic or something, where you're going to an event and you're staying in character the whole time. Right. So it's like, okay, let's see what it'd be like to stay overnight and let's try to, you know, camp out and have fires and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Stay in, you know, accurate bedding and tents and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be fun. I just enjoy the whole, like I enjoy the theater of it, but I also enjoy the history of it. You know, both those things are fun. And it also just like aligns with what I've always loved with camping and being outside and doing, you know, more traditional crafts and stuff, you know? So
yeah.
Thank you. That was good. Yeah. And it was actually, we were going to continue again this past Saturday. Craig was going to come back out and work on some stuff because he had some stuff that he started. He was enjoying the shop because he said his shop at his house is like a quarter the size of the shop here, which is not that big. So you can imagine his is pretty tiny. Right. But he's got, and he doesn't have like grinders. He's got, kind of some sanders and stuff. So he was like, and just switching out the belts and running, full speed grinders and doing all the work really fast and stuff. And so we'll see. We'll probably get together again a couple of times. I think we have an event coming up in about a month. I forget what it's called, but it's something days at Fort Loudoun, which is down in Virginia. And I think this is another overnight one, but I think if I remember correctly, this one actually has some like longhouses type of stuff at the, on the, property. So like some of what we're doing is kind of indoor and outdoor. So it'd be kind of fun. And this is our kind of winter event. So everyone gets to wear all their like extra layers of wool and, nice. And whatever furs they have and stuff, So I'm excited to do that one. It'll be cool.
The longhouse.
Yes. Yeah.
shoot somewhere like that as well. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll try to get some more shots. And I did do, we did Vikings Con. I have a video of kind of walking around with that. You may have seen some of that stuff when you were, when you had the Osmo 3, but I never like kind of made it as a full. It was kind of like a walk around of that event. So if you do want to take a look at that, I do have that footage. Oh, so
cool. Yeah, we should. Yeah. Yep, I didn't know. And also, yeah, you should put up the do a little hammering because I got some footage of you.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. I forgot about
Make a little short or something.
Yeah. I'll do that. Show people what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Right on. Well, I'm going to talk about my recommendation because I think it's really fun. So Corinne and I were playing a game called Dying Light, which is a zombie game for Xbox One. We got it from the library. And it's cool because the premise is that there was like a infection outbreak that creates these zombies.
Yeah, I'm looking up now. Yeah, I think I played that one.
Yeah. And it's in this city in like the Middle East. And basically the outbreak happened and they were able to basically contain it within this city. So they built these walls and stuff around the city to contain the virus. But there are people still in the city that were not infected. And so they're like, they can't get out of the city, but they also they're like making their own factions and there are different people who have different power and, like they're the kind of good guys and they're the bad guys. And so there's also the government that is like trying to make a cure. But they need to get in to get information about what's happening in the city because there's not like great information going back and forth. So they like they send in different drops of this like antibiotic that helps to stave off the infection, or even if you have the infection, like it can keep you from turning into a zombie. So like the government's trying to help, but you also don't really know. So your character is like a government agent that parachutes in find information about this one other government agent that's been sent in earlier, and they don't know what he's doing, but they think he's like running some type of crime syndicate or something. So I can't remember the whole premise of that.
It's the parkour game, right?
Yeah.
So I played that with a guy.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Really, it is fun. Did you play like co-op?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I mean, so we're just playing one player and then we're going back and forth, and I just trade off who's taking turns.
Yeah.
But it's great. Cause you're like running and you're jumping and climbing up on buildings and stuff. And it's exactly like what you'd want to be able to do if you were in like a zombie infested area.
Right.
To be able to jump climb off up and stay up high and do a slam. Yeah. Right. It's so much fun. And you can build up your attributes. So you build up your stamina and you build up your ability to like jump over things and then like do these combos and you can craft things and make things. So you're always like searching for stuff and finding stuff. So it's like, it's really fun. It's kind of like a, if people like, you know, like Legends of Zelda, you know, like Breath of the Wild or whatever, where you have an open world and there's like different stuff you can do. Obviously, it's a little bit more like mission based, and you can do like different missions, and you know, you can do things for people randomly on the side. You can kind of find people that have will be like talk to you and then be like, oh, can you go get this thing for me? And so it's kind of that almost like like Grand Theft Auto, you know, open world, first person. You can kind of do all sorts of different stuff, and yeah, it's great. But I love the like climbing on buildings, and you're like, you can kind of run past the zombies because they're all kind of slow. But then there are different, you know, there are different levels of zombies, like the big, like, you know, mutated ones that do different stuff and are faster, and the ones that are crazy. But then you have just the general ones that are walking along really slow, and you can like hit them and run away and jump up on a building and climb away from the stuff. It's
right.
It's fun. But we played that for like 5 hours straight on the snow day on Monday. It was awesome.
That is a real fun game. Yeah, I played that. I think there's a second one now on newer consoles. I might have to.
Yeah, the one that we have is like is the Dying Light, the Anniversary Edition. So uh-huh. It's like the original one, but it has a bunch of like additional things you can add on to it, you know. So it's like if you want to download them onto the thing. We just downloaded just the base game to start with, but yeah, no, it was fun, you know. And like, and at this point we've after the 5 hours or whatever, we don't have any like guns or anything yet. We just still have just like pipes and bats and wrenches and stuff that we're hitting people with, and
yeah.
So like you know, it's cool, and I just like the concept of this like big open world that you can run around and kind of like do whatever, climb over stuff and high, yeah. And yeah.
Yeah,
and then like, that's, you know, you can avoid going out at night, which makes like playing a zombie game, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm just gonna sleep and not go out at night because then it's not as scary, like, okay,
right.
Yeah, like,
no, that one's
great though.
Yeah, no, because yeah, the parkour makes it really fun but then scary when you're running from the things, and you're like, oh, I gotta make this jump, and then you don't make it. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Right, and then you try to like turn and jump up another spot, and then you can't jump high enough, and you're like, oh no, you're running. They're like getting close to you. You're like, go, go, go. Ah. Yeah, and but then if you do everything really like successfully, then you can really move across the city quick. You know, you're like jump, climb.
And you start to learn pathways, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I know often we'd be running around and be like, wait, I feel like I know this area. And then we like go around a corner and be like, oh yeah, we know this building and this thing. And
across the crane down here.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, it was fun. So that's my my recommendation if you guys have nice. Xbox One. that's what I have it on, is your old Xbox.
I mean, you can play it on the new ones too.
Yeah, right. But Dying Light, a zombie game, it's fun. And it's funny because the at least where we are in the game, the main like protagonist, the kind of good guy in the one group, was a parkour teacher. He's like, I was just a parkour teacher. I came here because I thought it'd be fun to like teach people, and now I'm blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
like that's funny, parkour teacher.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff.
Yeah,
cool, Ron.
All right, you got a recommendation?
No, I'll just say the Francis Bourgeoisie, whatever his real name is.
It's funny because Bourgeois, something like that. Bourgeois. It's a very French sounding name, right? Francis Bourgeois. And his name is Luke Magnus Nicholson, which is a very like Scandinavian name. You know? Right.
Yeah.
Magnus Nicholson.
Yeah, I don't know, you know. Yeah, so go watch that video. It's really, really great. And if you don't get emotional during that one part, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Actually, no, it's not just me, because as I went to put comments, people were like, I'm just a dude watching some guy with, there's a bunch of comments. Like, just a dude sitting here watching YouTube, like, starting to tear up about the trains. Like, what is going on? But now that I've said it, you're going to be ready for it. Maybe it won't hit. But just happy. It's one of those like really joyful moments. And
Well, those type of things get me easiest. Like I never like tear up of sad things. Like it's always the happy things that really like that get me emotional, you know. Or it's like the father son things, or like the daughter, you know, like it's those like wholesome relationships that like warm my heart to like that emotion. So
Well, yeah, watch this guy's videos. It's as wholesome as it gets and really, nice. Really good stuff.
Sweet, right on. Cool. All right. One more thing I wanted to mention. And it's kind of a recommendation, but kind of whatever. So I was watching Howling Wind's Axe and Tool, I think it is. He was just doing a reel on Instagram, and he was talking about this Brunt workwear jacket that he was wearing. And I was just kind of scrolling along, and he's wearing it and talking about it, and I wasn't really listening to it. But then I was like, it's kind of nice. And I was like, let me go just see what the jackets that Brunt has. And so I was kind of scrolling through their jackets, and I found the one that he was wearing, which was a fairly plain, light gray, whatever jacket. They have multiple colors, but just a gray jacket in a canvas with a vertical zipper pocket, on the left side, that side pocket that a lot of jackets have. And I found that, and so I was looking at it, and I was like, oh, that's kind of nice. And I've been looking for either a canvas or a denim black jacket. Something that's a little bit kind of Carhartt style, but I don't know, maybe a little more fitted. I'm not exactly sure. I've been kind of keeping my eye out for that. It caught my eye. I'm scrolling through the Brunt website, and I found the jacket, and it's called the Scott. I was like, cool, all right. So I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at all the different things, and it's a black, certain waterproof canvas, da 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 da. And then a lot of their different stuff has a story about who inspired it. The boots that I have on are the Chelsea style Brunt boots that are the Omen, and that's based off of a guy, on Instagram who's an Instagrammer, but he's a maker, and he does a bunch of stuff, and so it was based off of his what he wanted. So the Scott is named after Roy Scott, Vintage Axe Works. And so I was like, oh, cool. So it's talking a little bit about his story. He did this type of thing, and then he went on to work, with different, this type of thing. And then he found a passion for axes. Now he makes the highest quality axe that you can, these old tools and stuff. So it was kind of a cool story about why the jacket is named after Roy Scott from Vintage Axe Works. I was like, oh, heck yeah. So I just sent him a message. I was like, hey man, I just was looking at the Scott jacket from
Brian. I might buy your jacket. After you.
I know. Yeah. I was like, right on, man. That's awesome.
Freaking you should be cool. Like, hey, you got a discount code? It is your name.
Well, we have our own discount
code. That's true. I know. You're probably going to try to get one for free.
No, but I just thought that was cool. And I was like, right on. I sent him a message, and he was like, that's right, rockstar status. And he was like, yeah, man, thanks. That was cool. Cool to have them, reach out to him and kind of base one of their things after him. And I was like, right on.
Nice. You got to reach out. You got to reach out yourself. Maybe you can get
the art of craftsmanship.
A belt or something.
Yeah. A belt. AOC belt. Leather and high quality.
Yes.
Nice. Cool. But
did I have something else? No, I don't think we've hit an hour. Ravens game coming up this Saturday. Next week I'll be happy or really sad.
Yeah, because it's not even it's not even just the playoffs. It's Steelers and Ravens in the playoffs.
So I mean, if we lose the Steelers, they're bums right now. They do not have a good team. So if we lose them, then fine. Right. It'll hurt, but it's also then we could have made it anyway if we lose to them.
Right.
It's when you get to the Bills in Kansas City that you're like,
yeah,
this is going to be a tough one. I mean, Steelers are always tough.
Right.
But we should really destroy them.
Yeah, we should.
And if we don't, I think a lot of things have gone wrong, and nothing will go our way. Right. It'll be one of those games where there's a few missed picks, a couple things, a fumble here. And we don't have Zay Flowers this week, so that hurts a little bit. But everyone else is playing so well right now.
Yeah.
And the tight ends are playing so well, and Lamar's playing great. And then we have, which we haven't had the last, every year, we got Henry now, which he's just a monster. Yeah. And he only gets stronger as the game goes on, because he continues to slam and abuse you. And one pretty much every game he finds a hole and he breaks out and then you can't catch him. So I think the more tired the defense gets, he's just ready to, he will find a hole and exploit it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just so big, so strong. He's just like, peace.
So we got the game Saturday. So I'll be there working it. And
Heck yeah.
And then hopefully we got a few more games to watch. I'm looking forward to that. Maybe I'll convince Guy to have us all over or something. I don't know. He's got that huge TV, or I can find somewhere we could set the projector up.
Right. That'd be fun. Yeah. I feel like, I don't know. It's, we've been to the playoffs so many times in the recent history, and it's like we keep getting let down. I'm like, this year feels a little different only because like we had the slow start, and then, you know, we're not like, we've had some losses that were kind of silly, and you know, each time we had a loss, it was almost always like we killed ourselves, right? Or like we lost because of like missed, you know, field goals or something. We lost by just a couple points here or there. But then any of the games that were just like on point, you know, everyone's doing their job really well and not like, you know, 15 penalties and, you know, things like that. So like, I feel like we're getting better each week.
Right. We're getting like, good at the right time. Defense is the best it's been. Right. Everyone's playing great.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we have a better team than we did last year. And last year we were number one seed. So, if we can't do it with this team, I mean, well, you can try again next year with the same group of people.
Right.
I think we have just as good of a chance, but
You
know, you don't have many years where you have a good group of people, because you'll have it for a few years and then you have 10 years where you just can't do it.
Yeah. So yeah. And this is such a good team, man. It's like, you got to take advantage. Like, come on. And they're like,
So it'll be fun.
Yeah, man, it is. It will be fun. I do like the mindset, though. It's like, hey, if you lose to a bad team, then maybe you weren't going to get there anyway. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, then it's disappointing, but not like, oh, we were right there, disappointing. Or even when we lost in the championship, Kansas City last year, that hurt. That hurt because we just weren't doing anything. But they were so good. But if you lose in the first round, it's just like, well, fine.
Yeah.
It hurts because of the Steelers, but it's like, if we can't beat those bums.
Right.
Well, we don't.
And I will say, like, the Ravens have never gone to a Super Bowl and lost, which I can't even imagine that.
That hurts even
more. That's the worst. So it's like, oh, man, I don't want to have that be a first, you know, go and then lose in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
like,
but I'm looking forward to actually not. It was nice to work the extra games last year, but I was still working them. I want to go somewhere and hang out with you guys and whoever and watch some football, have some fun, have some drinks, have a good time.
Nice. Sweet. Cool. Yeah, I'll be watching it at the Porters, and I think Mom and Dad are going to come down as well and watch it with us. So
Saturday night.
Yeah, man. All right, cool.
All right.
All right, everybody. Well, check out, head over to YouTube, check out The Art of Craftsmanship there. Let us know what you think about the videos. We've got some new stuff up, which is doing good, and got more stuff coming, more stuff in the bank. We have to start shooting something else coming up soon. Hopefully, if it's not super cold outside, we'll see. But maybe it's a good time to do the axe video, because it's like, get out and use the axe and warm yourself twice. Yeah. Cut up some wood and then have a fire. Also, you guys can head over to Instagram and check out both Devin and I there at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy, and check out what's going on. If you want to see the Viking scissors that I made that are pretty but aren't working perfect yet, you can check them out there. And then if you want to support the channel and the podcast further, you can head over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and you can support us there. And we try to use all that money to put back into the channel to make better videos that'll make you want to cry at the end. Oh, the buildup of the tension.
I know, watching that one, something. I was like, man, we got to do like an emotional video. But see, if you go out trying to, I think you'll fail.
Right. Yeah.
It's like those stupid shows where you know that it's when they're trying to make you cry. You're like, nah, stop.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Stop it. You won't get me. It'll be the guy talking about trains that will get me. I'm ready for it.
Nice. Yeah. No, I hear you. Yeah, and it's like, it's a different thing. It's like, an emotional build up because of its excitement that's happening.
Yeah, right? It's like, definitely. It's not, you should watch it in the next couple days, Dust. I want to get your I'm going to get your reaction to it.
I might actually watch it tonight. We'll see.
All right. Text me.
Yeah. All right. Nice. All right. Cool. All right, everybody. Well, thank you guys all so much for hanging out and for listening. And we will talk to you all next time.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. But it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime. So you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made. And from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life. The American Giant Classic Full Zip. And save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Code CLASSIC24.
¿Qué tal, mi gente? Te saluda Emanuel González de Mark Wahlberg Auto Group. Somos la agencia más grande de Chevrolet y GMC de todo Columbus, donde encuentras los carros y camionetas nuevos, cero millas al mejor precio. También contamos con más de 800 carros usados de todas las marcas en inventario. Te podemos aprobar con número ITIN y aceptamos identificación o pasaporte de tu país. En Mark Wahlberg te esperamos con los brazos abiertos. Visítanos hoy mismo, 3900 West Broad Street, al oeste de la ciudad, a un lado del casino. Te atendemos completamente en español. Márcanos ya, 833-699-0792.